Amen. Aren't you glad He did it all for us today? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Anyone have anything on your heart this morning? Word of testimony or anything at all? Have your Bibles this morning, you turn with us to Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. It's a passage we're pretty familiar with, and we all love to talk about Joseph. Rhonda always says, "I like it when you speak about Joseph." Joseph is her favorite character in the Bible. Other than Jesus, but I think Joseph probably is her favorite character. And he, I guess because he handled himself so well. He handled himself right. He did like he ought to be. No matter how young he was, no matter how old he got, he handled himself in the right way and did like he ought to do. And as Preacher Cutshaw always said, he always said, just do the right thing. And Joseph always just done the right thing. He was just that type of guy. And if you would stand with me, we'll start reading at verse 1 in chapter 37. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he had made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him, and could not speak peaceably unto him. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheave stood around about and made obeisance or bowed to my sheave." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is the dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother, thy brethren, indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying, or took notice of it, or marked it. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your sustaining grace. We thank you for your awesome power. We thank you, Lord, for your sweet salvation. Thank you, God, for just being mindful of man. Lord, that the affairs of our lives you're involved in and you're aware of. And God, we're so thankful for that. And as we look today, and as we look in the passage here, we see Joseph, and Father, we see that you was very much involved in his life and a concern of his life, and Lord, that how you blessed him and had your hand upon him. God, we ask you to bless this time together. Pray the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you just anoint the old preacher boy. God, have your way. Minister to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've found a story that told of a man who had been drafted in the armed forces, and he would walk around and pick up a piece of paper and look at it, and he'd shake his head no and then throw that piece of paper away. And he did this every day. He did it all the time. And the superiors got kind of concerned about him. And they started watching him a little closer, and there's something he's going to do, and they finally just give him a medical discharge. And they discharged him out of the army, and then the soldier was summoned to the office of the superior officer, and they handed him an official form, which was his medical discharge. And when he looked at it, he exclaimed and said, "This is the one I've been looking for." This was the paper I've been looking for. And how often in our lives do we go looking for something? We go looking. A lot of folks is looking. They look, and the first thing that they open up is the Dow Jones. And some folks are looking for that winning number on a lottery ticket. And a lot of folks are looking for that good break in Nashville, or the break in Las Vegas, or they're looking for that break in Hollywood, and they're looking for that time when things are going to change and it's going to be different than it's been, and life's going to be a whole lot easier, and we're going to get that big break, we're going to meet that right person, we're going to get that right job, it's something is going to change, and we're going finally arrive. Amen. I believe that there's probably more of that goes on, and they are praying for God's divine wisdom and leadership in lives today across America. We trust a lot of folks. I used to work with a guy, and he used to say, "When I hit that lottery," he spent a lot of his check every week for those tickets, for that chance. Never have read where he's hit it yet. But I used to tell him, and I say, I hit it every day. I keep my dollar in my pocket. I win every day. So that was kind of the way I did. But we see Joseph here had, and I kind of wrote down here, this dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. And we had Joseph here, and he was a dreamer. He was shown dreams, but he was not shown the prison. He was shown the promises and the good things, but he wasn't shown the rough times. Amen? And we see that he is his father's favorite, born of his Rachel, his father's favorite wife, and his brothers hated him. And then we see there in verses 6 through 8 that he told of a dream that he had, where they were binding sheaves, and his sheaf would actually stood upright, and theirs bowed to him or made obeisance to his sheath. And then he dreamed another dream, and where the sun and the moon give obeisance, and also 11 stars would have been the 11 brothers. Boy, he caught a lot of flack over his dream. You know, that could stop right here and just talk to me. Sometimes discretion is a better part of valor. It would have been wise for him not to share this dreams with his family. But we see that he had told them, and they hated him. But I like that, and it just really jumped out at me this morning that it said that if, but his father, in verse 11, observed the sayings. His father really, he didn't discount it, and count it off. He knew there was something special about the boy. And that also remind me of Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It says, "And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart." That's what Mary, when Jesus had disappeared for a few days, and you know, thinking of this, often promises are shaken by the misunderstandings of the promise. We get a promise, and we may interpret it different and think different than it really is. And God gives us a lot of promises. And so often we kind of misconstrue them and kind of think, well, it meant this and it meant that, and we just count them improbable because of the misunderstandings. But I won't tell you today that God's at work whether we know it or not, whether it looks like it or not, and whether we think that He's may have checked out on us, and we may think that God's give up on us, and the devil will say, see, He don't love you. He's not a loving God. He has stowed you out here, and you're in this horrible mess, and He don't even care. Like some folks said when 9/11, where was God? Well, He was still on the throne. He was still in charge. Where was God when Joseph got thrown in prison? He was still on the throne. Where's God when my difficulties come and my money problems come and my other problems come and all the different things come? Where's God? He's still in charge. He's still on the throne. He's still calling the shots. Down at, if we come on down a few verses, down at verse 27. Of course, Jacob had sent Joseph to check on his brothers, and when he finally found them, and they said, there comes that dreamer, let's just kill him. And one of the brothers stood up and said, no, well, now wait a minute, this is flesh and blood, we don't need to be killing him. Reuben, I believe it was. And he said, let's just throw him in the pit. He was going to rescue him, but he had gone away down. And we see, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianite merchants, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Wonder, what do you think Joseph thought about his dream now? I want your wheels to turn a little bit. Where do you think he stood now? Where are you, God? What's going on? I don't understand this one. Amen. Sometimes our world gets rocked so bad. Wham! Right out of nowhere. We didn't see that coming. We didn't know that was coming. We was expecting the good things. We was expecting sunny weather. And right out of the blue, wham! This is where Joseph was. God had done showed him he was going to, they were going to kneel to him. He's going to be exalted. Now he got sold into slavery. Gets carted down to Egypt, sold into Potiphar's house. But then God blessed him in there. He was number one in the house, and then he said, well, glory. Kind of like a preacher, well, glory. And then, whoo, Potiphar's wife started making eyes at him. Where does he wind up again? In jail. I mean, not only did he get sold into slavery, now he's thrown in jail. Hadn't done nothing because he told some of them he had a dream. Where do you think that his faith in this dream was in? I'm doomed. I'm just doomed. In 39, verses 19 and 20. When it came to pass, when the master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, and his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. It's hard to dream about the palace when you're in the prison. Amen. It's hard to think of the good times and the good things and the good things that's laid out before us when we're down in the chains in prison. Amen. And this is where Joseph was now. He was bound. He was in prison. And God still blessed him. He's in charge of all the prisoners. Everywhere he went, they put him in charge. Glory, hallelujah. And then the cupbearer and the baker, one day they had dreams and he interpreted them right. And that guy forgot him. He said, when you come to Pharaoh, just remember me. That's all I ask. Forgot all about him. He said, I'm going to die in this prison. This is it. Nobody will ever bow and worship me except a couple prisoners, maybe. I'm done. This is the end. Kaplute. End of story. I'm in prison. You ever feel that way? This is it. It's history. Everything's gone bad. If it could go bad, what's that? Murphy's Law? If it can go bad, it will go bad. I started saying Newton's law, but he got hit in the head with the apple, didn't he? But thinking of this, in Luke chapter 10, verse 41, we know the story of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. And Martha was cumbered about by much serving, and she went to Jesus and said, do something about my sister. She's lazier and I don't know what, and I'm here doing all the work, and she's just laying around listening to you. He said, Martha, Martha. You, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You know, and today, he was saying, Martha, you're distracted and disturbed and you're anxious over these things. And today, we get so distracted. We get so disturbed. We get so anxious. If you listen to the news, when you get over being mad, you're disturbed and anxiety sets in and you think, man. And anytime that we look and we think and we allow these things, and we get anxious. Anxiety. The Bible said, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about things. And boy, that's easier said than done, isn't it? See, Mary was at Jesus' feet. Martha was working. And she was so busy, so carried away, and so caught up, so disturbed, so distracted, so anxious, that she lost sight that she was in the presence of the Lord. And today's time, we get so anxious, we get so caught up, we get so distracted, we get so disturbed, we forget that we are in His presence continually. Greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Greater is the power that resides in us than all the forces and demons in hell. Can you imagine that? Do you believe that? We are empowered with the power of the Holy Ghost of God. And we fear and tremble when the devil walks up. And he can bluff us and send us off scratching our head and tore all to pieces. Wonder how many times Joseph sat in that prison wringing his hands. Lord, what have I done? He probably didn't dwell on it. He went on and did the work that was before him. But I still have to wonder how many times he prays, God, what have I done? I mean, I guess it's all right to ask that sometimes. Sometimes we say, God, what's going on? I don't understand this one. This one has blowed me away, and I don't understand it. What's going on? See, but Mary, in verse 42 of that, Jesus, when he told Martha, he said, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. See, Mary had chosen to participate and to accept and enjoy the presence of the Lord. In Joseph in the prison, I'm still convinced he enjoyed the presence of the Lord. He enjoyed worshiping the Lord. He enjoyed being part of God's divine plan. Not everybody gets to wave the flag. Not everybody gets to go out in front and just wave the flag. Some of them's got to tote the stuff along. Some of them's got to do some other things. And as we see here, that instead of letting things drag us down and bog us down and confuse us and let anxiety set in and let depression set in and let all these things set in, that we enjoy the presence of Almighty God in our lives. Amen. I must have the wrong message. You ain't getting it this morning. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, do we cast our cares on Him? See, it's easy to forget God's promises when we're in the prison. Amen. Very easy to forget what God's told us He'd do. Where God said He'd take us. What He said He'd do. Lord, You said You'd never leave me or forsake me. You said this and You said that, and here I am. Joseph was in prison. You think when he was running about and telling these dreams, he had any idea he was going to spend all those years in prison? One of his brothers said, boy, you're going to spend a lot of your time in prison. He had said, you're crazy. There's your introduction. Do we trust Him today? Do we trust God? Do we trust Him with our cares? Do we trust Him with our problems? Do we trust Him with everything? I believe Joseph did, because one of the things is when the baker and the butler, and when the one got freed, he said, remember me. Remember me. He's still expecting God to do a work. He was still expecting God. And today, do we trust Him? In Matthew 11 and verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. See, He invites us to trust Him. We're invited to put our trust and our faith in Him and to lay our cares upon Him. As it said in 1 Peter, casting our cares upon Him. Letting Him deal with them. He said, just trust me. Are you heavy laden today? Do you have a burden today? It may be a sin burden that you're carrying about. Well, I tell you, when you carry that load of sin a day after day after day, it gets so heavy and it gets so hard. Jesus said, won't you just let me have it? Maybe it's the pressures of life that's got us overwhelmed, and we just get bogged down and dragged down, and we don't even feel like coming to church, and we don't want to talk to nobody, and we don't want to get out in public. We just want to be off to ourselves and do our own little thing, and everybody leave us alone. Ever get there? He said, let me have this weight. Trust me with it. He says, would you like some rest? Well, I tell you, after a hard day's work or something that you've done and you wore out, it's nothing like come home resting, are they? Just kick your feet up, take your shoes off. I don't know about you, but I flip that little button on the recliner and my feet fly up higher in my head. Well, that's rest. Jesus said, just get in a recliner and flip it back. Let me give you rest. You've worked hard. You've toiled over this stuff. You've been like Martha and you've cumbered about it, and it's brought anxiety and it's brought problems to you, and all you got to do is let me have it. Yoke up with me, he said. Psalm 55:22 said, cast thy burden upon the Lord and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Then he says, learn of me. You know what I believe that this come to me as I was studying and looking at this. And he said, learn of me. I mean, just try me. Just try me. You've tried this other stuff. You've done this. You've gone here. You've gone there. You've tried the doctors for your depression. You've tried this for that area. And you've been into drugs and alcohol trying to do all of this. And just give me a try. Let me do a work. Let me help your problems. Let me take care of the problem for a little while. Then in Romans 10:13, the Bible said that, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Yoke up with him today. Maybe, I don't know where we are with salvation. I try not to take it for granted that everybody's saved. I don't know. I've heard of folks that have been in church for 30 or 40 years and taught Sunday school and still had never been saved. And I want to lay it out today. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, today's the day of salvation. Today's the time. Yoke up with him. See, I like that promise that I'm so glad I'm a whosoever today. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I am dependent and trusting him with my salvation. I come just as I was, and I said, Lord, I'm unworthy, but I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to take my sins. I ask you to make heaven my home. I'm trusting you with my salvation. I thank God for that promise this morning. I'm depending upon it. And one glorious day that I expect to see Jesus. I've bought into that, Brother Tim. I believe it. I eat it up hook, line, and sinker. I'm convinced that when I die, I'll go to heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm convinced that if Jesus comes for me, then I'll be called up to meet him in the clouds. Amen. I bought into it. Amen. And I don't have a problem with telling people about it either. I'm that convinced over it. Now, some of them looks a little strange, but it's all right. See, another promise, another thing that I'm clinging to is Philippians 1:6. Bible said, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That same one that delivered me and brought me up from that altar that night, and that I come up free and felt like that nothing had ever happened. I felt like a boy had been in a bathtub. I felt like somebody had been cleaned up. I felt that I was ready to go to heaven. That same one that done that night is the same one that's going to carry me through until I breathe my last breath or Jesus comes through the skies. Glory, hallelujah. I'm convinced of that. I believe it with my whole heart. And even though we're like Joseph and we feel defeated and neglected and beat down and thrown in jail, it don't matter. He's going to open the prison doors up and let us out. There's a day coming. Just because that it's night, just because you got the chain in the prison right now, that you're in the dungeon, that don't mean that we give up. That don't mean we're defeated. That just means there's a little glitch. Glory, hallelujah. Good times are coming. Praise the Lord. Stay on the firing line. See, we see real quick, Joseph made an exit from the prison and made a beeline into the palace. Praise the Lord. If you turn with me to chapter 41, at verse 1. It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up out of the river ill-favored, lean-fleshed, and stood on the other with the other kine on the brink of the river. Pharaoh had a dream, and he seen these cattle and these corn. Joseph said, finally the butler said, wait a minute, there's a guy in prison that knows about dreams. Pharaoh brought him up. He interpreted his dreams. Verse 41, Joseph said, what you need to do, this is going to be 7 year of famine. You got 7 good years, then there's going to be 7 bad years. And the 7 famine years is going to eat up everything that was in the good years. He said, you need to seek somebody out. Let them go and save in these 7 years, and you'll have plenty to get you through the bad years. Verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house. Let's go 39. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. I don't know about you, but boy, that's rich stuff right there. Boy, and just a few days ago, he said, Lord, I don't know what's going on. God, I don't know why I've been put in the prison. I don't know why my brother's done me like they did. I don't understand the things. Boy, this is starting to come a little clearer to him right now. Pharaoh said, no, you don't answer nobody but me. I'm the only boss you got. You get to even tell your wife what to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him and bowed the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. I believe when Joseph was riding down the road in that chariot and people started bowing to him, I think that dream come back. God didn't let me down. I think a tear ran down. Thank you, God. Amen. I thought I'd misheard. I thought I misinterpreted what you was telling me. I thought that I was wrong. Praise the Lord. Amen. Time had got a lot sweeter for him. See, life for us is like that prison as we go through this life. We're bound by a lot of things. Time is my worst enemy. Well, I wouldn't say worst, but time has us. We're bound by so many things. John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The disciples was just all to pieces. You talking about anxiety. You talking about problems. You talking about doubting. Jesus had just told them, "I'm getting ready to die and go and leave you." They were distressed. They said, We had trusted in Him. He's the one that we'd put all our faith in Him. We thought He was the one." And Jesus said, Don't trouble about these things. You'll go through prison a while, but there's a palace waiting for you. There's a better time coming," He said. "Hang on and hang in there." Revelation 22. Verse 12 says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with thee, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city." What a promise. What a blessed promise and hope that we have as believers. If we're clinging to Jesus and trusting Him, this is a promise that we can cling to. Jeremiah 29:11 said, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Jesus said here in chapter 22 of Revelation, "I've give you an expected end." You can expect that if you serve me and you trust me and you keep my commandments, that you'll walk through the gates into heaven one glorious day. And Isaiah, Jeremiah here told Israel, what God was telling him to tell Israel, that yeah, you're going to go into prison. Yeah, you're going to have times. Babylon's going to overthrow you. You're going to be in trouble for 70 years. But I'm not done with you. I've got an expected end for you. I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to establish you as a nation. Amen. And ain't nobody messes with Israel right now. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. I bet you when they were in the Babylonian captivity, they had trouble seeing that. We're just in the battle right now. Don't get discouraged. I want to read you something. Dr. E. Stanley Jones plunged into his work in India with passion, but unbearable heat and hard work shattered his nerves. He was sent home. But Jones returned a year later only to collapse again. In this state, Jones went to the city of Lucknow for meetings. One night he suddenly felt the Lord asking him, "Are you yourself ready for this work to which I have called you?" "No, Lord, I'm done for," Jones said. "I have reached the end of my resources. If you will turn that over to me and not worry about it, I will take care of it." "Lord," Jones said, "I close the bargain right here." A great peace settled in his heart. I knew it was done. Life, abundant life, had taken possession of me. I was so lifted up that I scarcely touched the road as I quietly walked home that night. I went through the day's working far into the night, came down to bedtime wondering why in the world I should ever go to bed at all, for there was not enough slightest trace of tiredness of any kind. Jones served the Lord more than 40 years in India, become one of the most famous missionaries in his generation. If we're always worried about all these details, we'll break down. But if we turn them over to the Lord, He'll take care of them and us. I have no idea why the Lord laid this message on my heart. But as we come to the invitation time, I'm going to encourage you this morning. Is it getting overwhelming for you? I don't know what you're going through. I don't have a clue what you're... Is the pressure of loved ones? Maybe you're concerned about their souls. Maybe you're concerned about the situations they're in. Maybe you've been given a task. It's too big, just like Stanley Jones had. It's too big. So often when I first came to pastor here, and Rhonda will verify this, and she's probably prayed the same prayer. I had to pray the prayer over and over. Lord, give me some supernatural strength because I'm too tired to carry on. Lord, I need some extra help. Sometimes we get to where we, just like Dr. Stanley there said, I'm done. I've gone as far as I can go. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I can't do anymore. See, God can't bring glory to His own name with servants in that shape. When we get overwhelmed, we get to the end of the rope, and we just want to give up, and we're in that prison, and we say, these dreams I'm never going to see. I started to name the message that. These are dreams I'm never going to see. Has God promised you your loved ones to be saved? Have you ever got a confirmation from the Lord? Have you ever got a confirmation from the Lord of any area of your life that I'm going to take care of that area? Then don't give up on it. Don't let down. If you hadn't had that confirmation, I'm going to challenge you to come and get it this morning. And if you've started losing sight and you started kind of getting a little, I just don't know about this, I'm going to ask you to come and get re-energized. I'm going to ask you to bring your burdens this morning. And really, this time, let's leave them up here. So often we'll come and we'll throw that burden down on the altar. And we'll pray and we'll cry and we'll get up and pick it up and carry it right back to the pew with us. We'll take it back home with us. Let's bring it this morning and leave it. Father, we come to you again in prayer. We're so thankful for this day. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you have given us an encouraging passages. And Lord, that you give us things that helps us to hang on. And Lord, that I ask you today, Father, that you would minister to our needs. And Lord, that we, all of us at times, that we get so discouraged and we get so bombarded and so run down and so tired. And Lord, we just get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Father, we got a workload ahead of us that's far more than we can handle. And then there's so much things and so much stuff and so many problems and so little time. And Lord, we need you. God, I ask you today. Lord, you know every need we have in the house. And I pray that you'll meet those needs. And God, you'll actually help us to lay the burdens down. Give it to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'll stand for the invitation. Will you come?